scripture reading today comes from Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Christian United Methodist Church. As many of you know, I am Pastor Jim Voigt, and Eric Adams and I have worked together on a project about the church values, the values of First United Methodist Church. Our values as a church are generosity, inclusion and relationship building, service and servanthood, and growth and Christian education. When a church has values, that's often opportunities for us to grow as people, that each church has its own flavor, right? And so these values kind of represent the flavor of First United Methodist Church that we desire to grow into as Christian people, how we stand apart from many other churches, good churches in Lebanon. And so today we have four people that Eric and I have visited with, who we believe live into these values or who have experienced these values within our church. And so we hope you enjoy learning from their stories and example today.
My name is Scott Shoemate. I've lived in Lebanon for 37 years, which is half my life. I worked for the city for 20, and I've been retired for quite a while. But the first part of my life affected my outlook on the church, stewardship, and everything else. So very briefly, I grew up in a small town about the size of Hartville in rural Iowa, two doors from the Methodist Church, went every Sunday. I came here and we started, I came here with a wonderful wife and three little girls. We started the church here.
My name is Marlene Donald, and I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I was a school teacher, and then I worked in the John Deere dealership with my husband we had in town here in Lebanon. Okay, and I have three wonderful daughters, Heather, Jacqueline, and Jessica, and four beautiful grandchildren, and my husband, John.
I am Carla Lowe Phelps. And I have been a member of First United Methodist Church here in Lebanon since about 6 months after arriving here, which was about 32 years ago. And in that time, I've been in a lot of different capacities and have found myself loving the church, loving the Wesleyan way, and loving the people that I have been able to work with and serve.
My name is Donnie Rickman, and my wife Nancy and I moved here at 11 in November of this last year, and we lived in Hermitage, Missouri before that. I was raised Methodist in a little old town in Fairplay, Missouri, and all my family was raised Methodist. And then we moved to Independence, Missouri, and I was involved with my mother at First Methodist Church there in Independence. Then I retired. We moved down to Palm de Terre Lake, joined the Palm de Terre United Methodist Church, and we were active in that church, different positions. And then,
so why is generosity important to you?
Generosity is important to me on a couple fronts. One would be I worked a lot overseas. Third world countries, whatever, and you see a lot of the need they have.
of the hunger, of the abuse, of the neglect over there, and they need help, and they need help from the world powers, and the church generosity helps me do that. Also, in working for the city, I saw a lot of local need, local poverty. On the other hand, it's a part of who you are. Everything I have, everything I am, is a gift from God. And I am just a steward of it while I'm here on this earth. And He has blessed me in that I have things that can help other people. A good avenue for that is the church. You could always pay more taxes than you owe or help out other nonprofit organizations. But I find that the church, in my experience, does the most good.
Well, I was raised Catholic, and I went to church every Sunday, went to Sunday school. We would go to communion every week, and my mom stayed in the pew again, just looking sad. And then we all went up, came back from communion, and I said, "Why didn't you go?" And she said, "Well, don't worry about it, honey." Well, years later, because I was young, she finally told me that she stopped taking communion because she couldn't take it anymore because she was on birth control. So she wasn't able to take it. And so that kind of stuck with me. And I was like, oh. And then many years later, I ended up getting a divorce. And I couldn't take communion anymore. So I knew what my mom felt like. So I went to church, but then it just didn't feel comfortable. So I stopped going. And I had my girls, and I thought, oh, I need to get them back into church. So I tried it again, and I went to church. And there I was, just not feeling connected or like I belonged. So I stopped going. That was the easy way. I just stopped going. And then many years later, I met John. And he went to the Methodist church, and he said, "Come on, go to church with me." And I said, "Okay." But every Sunday I came up with an excuse why we couldn't go because I didn't want to go. And he kept saying, "Come on." And he was very persistent. So finally I agreed, "Okay, I'll go." And we get there and I look at the program and it's Communion Sunday. So I already had the pit in my stomach and I was like, "Okay, what am I going to do? I'll just sit in the pew." And that's all I knew to do. So then we went through the service and then communion time came and the pastor said, "Our church, it's open hearts, open mind, open doors. Everyone is welcome at our table." Words can't describe the emotion. I even feel it now, the emotion I felt, the joy, the acceptance that these strangers were welcoming me to their table. It reminded me of the Bible stories where Jesus welcomed everybody. And the only thing I can think of is, "Here I am, Lord." And that, ironically, was the hymn that played at the end of the service. "Here I am." Sorry.
I serve this church in multiple ways. I am a member of the Accountable Leadership Board in the capacity of representing the United Methodist Women, of which I am the president, and then a representative to the board. As a United Methodist woman, we are now United Women in Faith. And in that new title, I think it really kind of defines us even more so as women who live out their faith in action, serving very specifically women, children, and youth, not only in our community, but the state, the nation, and the world. I'm also in the leadership role as a Stephen minister. As a Stephen minister, I serve the community and church, if you will. First of all, as a leader, leading other Stephen ministers in refining their skills and being able to help others serve as Jesus's hands and feet, walking beside people who are in some sort of crisis or another. That project reaches out into the community because those people that we serve don't have to be members of our church. They just have to be people in need that are identified and that we can help by walking with them through their time of need. Those projects, I think, encompass a lot of what goes on in this community. In that, I'm saying the community is a community that has a lot of needs, but we have an abundant God, and I don't ever forget that. And He will, according to Philippians 4:19, meet those needs. All we need to do is ask. And I believe that in asking His support of those needs, we can go forward. He stretches our time to be able to. People say to me, how do you have the time? Mm-hmm. I don't have the time. My time is in God's hands. And He stretches the time to make it so that I can meet the needs that He puts in front of me.
I just felt I had a call. I went to some lay speaking events. And I just felt I had a call to pursue that, to go farther. And my pastor at that time was Barbara Bowser. And she encouraged me to go to seminary and either become a full-fledged elder or at least a licensed local pastor. And so I ended up being a licensed local pastor. Did that for 12 years, and I served full-time. I served two churches, Cross Chambers United Methodist Church, and New Hope over at Edwards, Missouri. And had a great experience. And I fill in various places on a substitute basis. So
recently gave a gift to the church for the children's ministries, a matching grant. I've been in the finance business in this church for 25 years plus. And it's pretty easy to raise money for bricks and mortar projects. I was on the building committee when we built the Family Life Center. People get pretty excited about that. It isn't easy work, but it's very rewarding. When you're all done, you've got new paint, you've got new carpet, you've got a new building, whatever. The part that I wanted to emphasize was the programming end of the ministry. And it's hard to raise funding for that because you can't put your hand on the product. You see a lot of kids running around, or you see an active adult Sunday school program or something like that. And it's just hard to get people excited about that. And so I thought that this gift would give people a little incentive to have a look at that and double their money if they wanted to. And so far it seems to have worked pretty well.
It's ultimately how we were able to hire our new director of Children and Family Ministry.
And that's a big commitment for a church to put on staff, especially professional staff. Church and the general fund income goes up and down. If you build a building, you get a bid, they build it, you pay the bill, and it's over. With staff ministry, it's more of a longer term commitment, and that's why I did the gift over 4 years, and that will allow it to get established. Everybody can see what it's going to look like.
Years later, it still gets me when Pastor Marcia says, everyone is welcome at our table. I feel that. I now it's tears. I feel the tears. It's of joy. I feel accepted. I feel welcomed. I'm at the table.
What does communion mean to you?
Acceptance, mm-hmm. Love, welcoming. Included, not being left out, not having to sit in the pew, being welcomed at Jesus' table.
I am the chair of the Children and Family Ministry team. I have a wonderful team of United Methodist people that are members here who have diligently served for almost a year now to prepare for ministry to children and their families. And part of that has been the blessing of setting up, just getting the nuts and bolts done so that we could launch the program and have it ready for an exciting time with children.
The word discipleship means to me, once you are baptized, and if you're really sincere with yourself and you receive the Holy Communion, the sacraments, you're pledging yourself to Jesus Christ that you'll become a disciple. And my goal is to every day try to live my life according to what Jesus would want me to do. That's what I consider discipleship. And how I live my life is a representation of Jesus, or should be. And that should wear off and hopefully encourage other people to become members of the church, disciples of Christ. Because we're all disciples of Christ. It's not just for pastors or lay speakers. We're all disciples, or we can be all disciples of Christ. And then I decided that I wanted to expand, and I applied for St. Paul School of Theology in Kansas City. And I was accepted, and I went to the course of study, and I went through that for 5 years. And it was a very good experience. And to be honest with you, the other thing that really influenced me was the song Victory in Jesus. One Sunday we sang that at church. Now it's always been one of my favorite hymns. And for 2 or 3 weeks after that, I could not get that song out of my mind. I'd be driving down a highway, or I'd be working, and Victory in Jesus. And I just felt like it was a calling.
Well, if people get excited about generosity, the church's mission and the church's vision, and what it's going to take to do that, like the children's group has done. They have worked tremendously hard over the last 9 months to make this start of the children's ministry happen in a quality way. You know, all kinds of things can happen. You can serve folks. You can serve local people. You can serve the people of the church and the people outside the church. It's the me, mine, us, and them. First I look after me, then I look after mine, then I look after folks like me, and then I look after who aren't like me. And you can do all of that if you have generosity in the church. You can do it with your programming. You can do it by writing checks. You can get involved in the VIM, and it gets real exciting, and it builds on itself. Recently, I've decided to donate more time to the church. And I talked with Pastor Jim, and he said there might be an opportunity in the business end of the church. And I have a lot of experience in business end of things. I went through a couple years there of COVID, and I went a full year and never left our house, our property, except for doctor's appointments. And I worked in the barn, and I worked in the shop, and I worked in the garden, and I thought, all this stuff means nothing. You know, well, I got the vaccine now, and I got the boosters, and things are opening up. I ought to be doing something that makes a difference.
With First United Methodist Church, are there ways that you have felt particularly welcomed and included?
Oh, definitely. It's the theme: open hearts, open minds, open doors. Everyone is welcome. It doesn't matter how much we've sinned. We can all be forgiven, and we're accepted, and we're loved. And it makes me want to live a better life because I belong. I think of it as my connection to God. It's my hotline. It's just like I have a direct line because I'm at the table. and I'm heard. And that just opens the door for everything else. I mean, it really does, because then you're more involved, you're more connected, you feel like you belong. When you feel like you belong to a place, you just want to keep doing better and live up to what the Bible says we should do. It just makes you want to be a better person when you belong somewhere. Everyone is welcome at our table. I never heard that before. It's just those simple words. You don't know what it's like until you don't feel welcomed. When you feel welcome, when you don't feel welcome, and someone welcomes you, it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It is truly overwhelming. And I'm so thankful with John.
I'm motivated to serve the church and the community, if you will, by Matthew 25. And the exciting part about that is that when Jesus said those words to the people, he was saying that they didn't always know when they were feeding the hungry or clothing the naked or visiting the imprisoned or helping. And that's part of the joy. Sometimes the surprises, the adventure of walking with Jesus is so amazing to me that I'll look back and say, whoa, kind of like, oh, the diaper ministry. What am I doing diapering at age 70? And now I'm a few years past age 70. But that it's just so exciting because the Lord is there saying, this is what we're going to do next, Carla. And as long as I'm open to that, he's made me in his image. And because he's made me in his image, he then is in me. And he leads me forward. And that's what motivates me, is being holding the hand of Jesus and walking with him. Surprisingly, in surprising ways. And so inspiration is perspiration. I'm not denying that for a minute. But also, if it's, I can't start my day without talking to the Lord and listening. And then saying, I'm open to whatever it is that you want. Show me what you want me to do today. Where are we? What's the adventure for today? Because I'm kind of that kind of a person that my feet hit the ground and I want to do something exciting. And there's nothing more exciting than walking with Jesus and encouraging others to walk with him too.
We came to the builder's class and we came to First United Methodist and we felt so welcome. And then when we started coming regularly, after we got moved and we come to Sunday school class, a couple of members asked me if I would be willing to fill in a couple of Sundays, and I did. And they seemed to like the way I did it, and so they said, well, you want to do it full time? So I did, and I enjoy that. I enjoy teaching. And so if you're looking for somebody that's got an open heart, open mind, and all that, that's what we try to do. But it's basically... all of our teaching and preaching, if you will, is done from the Bible. The church and the pastor or the leadership of the church can only do so much. And they encourage you and direct you, but you've got to take the initiative. If you want to become a good disciple or an outstanding disciple of Jesus Christ, you have to put your heart and mind into it. And you have to study the Bible at home. Read different authors and stuff like that. I think the community of the church can enhance Christianity and anybody's. It's hard to do it by yourself, especially if you haven't been raised in the church. If you're coming in from as a stranger into the church, you need all the support you can get. And I got to say, this church here gives that support. Through education or phone calls or a crying session or whatever it might be.
This church does that.
Isn't that amazing? That was just the best. Sweet friends, I sat and I watched that, and I shared this with you, just a note, that church, sometimes people think is no longer relevant. And I would say to you, I don't even begin to think I agree with that. I guess I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if I agreed with it at all. But when you saw those four values, and more importantly, heard those four stories, you might be a little overwhelmed and think, well, but that's Carla. Yeah, but that's Dawn. Yeah, but that's Marlene. Yeah, but that's Scott. Well, I'm going to tell you something. They all, like me, started somewhere. That piece of scripture says that we are transformed. We do not conform to the world. We become transformed. And wherever you are in your walk with Jesus right now, there is more, and it is exciting. And I just wanted to share that with you. Do not be conformed. And when Carla was talking about the time, I have the, in my life, I call them my 3-minute minutes. I get to the end of the day, and I go, man, God, I don't know how that all got done, but you did it. And so I think God gives us 3-minute minutes. The other little piece I'd like to encourage you, you heard those four great stories. And I can look in this congregation and I can tell you I have sat with a few of you and you have great stories to tell. And that's how we inspire somebody who might think, oh yeah, well that was them and them and them and them. We all start somewhere. And when we tell our stories of how we got to today, it might inspire somebody. Wouldn't that be just the best? Smile and say to the next person, do you? And if you're sitting by yourself, find somebody that's sitting by themselves and say, you're going to inspire me. Come on. You can do it. You inspire me. Seriously. Rita, you inspire me. Amen. We're going to be ending our time together with the sending song, Take My Life and Let It Be. And I'm going to ask you to stand. Quite often when we stand in a song, that's a stand up that we're offering this a little bit more to the Lord. So we're going to sing Take My Life and Let It Be. And then little Shaylee's going to come and she's going to take the light. And she's going to take it that direction. And guess what? That's all of us. We're supposed to go out there and be the light of Christ to the world. Amen? Let's sing together.